from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and friends beyond the binary, it's a podcaster that records in a padded room, padded with moving blankets, but one day I hope to be in a more professionally padded room with professional padding. But this is the podcast that ideally pads your pillow. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, and I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would Sleep With Me be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box, straight right to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
I want to thank everybody who worked on this show. Chris Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful Studios edited the show, did the theme music. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer on our artwork. Jonathan Mann's on our lullabies. I'm at Dear Scooter. You know, you can subscribe in your smart speakers. Just to say, hey, smart speaker, play Sleep With Me podcast. So I guess that's not subscribing. Also, in another subject, I want to thank the people that subscribe to Kindness. Listeners have their own Facebook group, and it's moderated by Sarah, Stacy, Keith, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. And I want to thank all of them. And what do you say? We keep the show going. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it's a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is to create a safe place where you could set aside whatever is keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, weather, travel, snoring partners. Oh, those sweet, sweet snoring partners. We love them so, except, you know, they snore. Like if I can take your mind off of that. I was thinking about weather vanes. I've had a weather vane on the brain recently. Or, well, I was thinking about squeaky weather vanes. And then I was thinking about weathered weather vanes. Which maybe that's what tonight's story will be about, the weathered weather vane. I don't know why they don't call them wind vanes, other than, like, weather vane sounds better. But if you had a squeaky... Well, let me get to the new listeners first. I'm going to try to take your mind off of whatever's keeping you awake. And I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use the lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, tangents, like superfluous stuff, stuff like similes, accidental jokes. That's another thing. Let's see. Where am I? I'm going to try to keep you company. And distract you as you drift off into dreamland. That's basically what I'm here to do. And if you're new, here's the structure of the show. First, a few minutes, less than 4 minutes ideally, will be business. That's how we keep the podcast free and over 630 archived episodes free. So you have a plethora of stuff to sleep to. And so that'll be first 3 or 4 minutes. Then there's an intro, which we've just started. Those are around 12 minutes of me trying to explain the podcast. It's kind of a show within a show. It's monologue-like in the fact that I'm the only one talking. Well, no, but there's like the cacophony within my brain. But it's still just me. And so the intro is like a show within a show. Like some listeners sleep to the intro, some listeners skip the intro, some listeners get ready for bed, get their pets in bed for the intro. And the whole idea of the intro is to make you feel welcome and to put you at ease. If you're new, to kind of slowly earn your trust. So that's the intro. Those are around 12 minutes. Then we'll have a story after that. Maybe it'll be about a weathered weather vane, now that I'm thinking about weather vanes. And then at the end of the show, that's about 45 minutes, and we'll have about a few minutes of thank yous at the end. And also, all told, the show is about an hour. And you don't need to listen to any of it. You could listen to 2 minutes of it like some listeners do. You could listen to 40 minutes. You could have it on all night as some listeners like. Some people don't start listening till they wake up at like 2 in the morning. So there's no wrong way to use the show. And you can listen intently, but you don't need to. Because I'm just here to keep you company. So if you need company and you need some mild entertainment, I'll be here till the end. Believe me. I'm here for you, but I'm here for you in a way that you don't need to listen either. If you say, well, I'm just going to turn down the volume here to a murmur, I'll be here to murmur and mumble to help you in any way I can. And you're also under no pressure to fall asleep. The shows are about an hour, so you have plenty of time to drift off at your leisure. There's no pressure. This isn't a podcast that should put you to sleep or must put you to sleep. It's a podcast to be here as you fall asleep, to make that transition a little bit easier and to give you something else to think about and listen. Well, not really think about it because there's not a lot of sense in here, but you know, something to take your mind off of stuff. And maybe if you become a regular listener, a friend that you can look forward to at bedtime, rambling at a nice, safe distance. But I'm glad you're here. And yeah, like I said, I've been thinking about, well, I don't know why I started thinking about weather vanes. I mean, I guess like one day, I think people used to say life goals. That was a few years ago, but, I would like to live somewhere like, where there's a weather vane. I don't see that in my near future, and I guess I would have to own the weather vane. Maybe not. I guess you could rent a place that comes with a weather vane. I don't know. I guess like when I think about weather vanes, I think about them kind of spinning with the wind. And I picture them, and sometimes they have nice designs. I guess if I had one, I would prefer one that was weathered, maybe made of some copper or something that could get that whole like a green. Is that a patina or patina? Yeah, patina of a green and stuff. But I guess if there was a squeaky weather vane, I guess that's originally why I started thinking about it. Like that could keep you up at night. If you're at like, so if you have an Airbnb or something, grease your weather vanes. Like don't do it now, but next time you're at the store, pick up some of that 10-in-1 grease, or whatever it's called, oil that you're supposed to use, that you see in everyone's toolkit. I don't think I've ever seen it used. Maybe my dad. I don't think I ever saw my dad use that, but I know he had it everywhere. But that probably is good for a weather vane. Here's the thing. I've used WD-40 before. I don't have anything against it, but I think for a weather vane, use that like 10-in-1 oil instead. It just feels more, I don't know, bucolic. Can a lubricant be bucolic? Is bucolic a word? And the bucolic oil, there's another story that'll never be told. The oil would say, just leave me down here with the dinosaurs. I just want to stay down here. What the heck? But anyway, where are things going? Well, I was just thinking about weather vanes, why they're not called wind vanes, but weather vane is a nice word. Isn't there an actor, William Devane or something? He was in some of the Bad News Bears movies, I think. Okay, I guess, like, I mean, this podcast, I guess, can be, like, sometimes a squeaky weather vane. For some people, it might sound good. For me, I live in a neighborhood with roosters, and I enjoy their sounds, but I can see how other people would be like, when's that weather vane going to be? Stop squeaking and say, okay, well, let me get up there with the grease. I'll grease it up for you. And you won't hear a thing. And maybe some person's extra, they got extra, maybe they have more, their hearing's more on the sensory level, so they can even hear it, the churning weather vane. But that'd probably be good. You say, okay, it's getting windy. The weather vane's churning. That sounds like a truism. When the weather vanes are churning, the weather will be a turning. That's most boring. That's pretty boring. But, I don't know why it's called a weather vane though. I guess that's I keep coming back to that. If it's just pointing with the wind, is it do anything else? And not that it has to, other than look lovely. But this podcast, I guess, is meant to take your mind off of stuff, to point you in any direction that'll lead you to sleep, and to carry you off into dreamland in case that there's something like a weather vane that's keeping you awake or thoughts about weather vanes. I think weather vanes, it has the right amount of syllables to be in a song. In a hook part of a song. Weather vane. See the difference? Weather vanes. It feels sing-songy. I don't know. But what I do know is I'm here to help you. This is coming from somebody that overthinks everything. And once something gets stuck in my mind, it just keeps turning and turning and turning. And sometimes it can feel a little bit squeaky. And, you know, when it's in your head, you can't have somebody come and put that 10-in-1. Is it 10-in-1 oil? And what does 10-in-1 oil even mean? Does it mean there's 10 different kinds of oil in that one tin? Are there 10 kinds of oil? I mean, because the 10-in-1 oil was out way before there was like avocado and coconut oil. I think even pre-grape seed oil. So I know those three aren't in there. Or is it like 10-in-1? You can use it for 10 things. I don't know what they are after door hinges and weather vanes. I'd have trouble thinking of the other eight. What would be bike stuff? But it's a little generalized. Squeaky wheels, I guess they get the grease. So there you go. There's one. That's three. I guess like something you'd have to turn like that. Stuck turny stuff. But this would be more, I figure that one's more of like a maintenance thing where WD-40 or spray is like getting it, you know, it feels like there's always because I guess I always overspray. What would be the other seven things you'd use a 10-in-1 for? I mean, I guess outboard motors. It feels like outboard motors are on anytime they want to do a 10, they say, oh, marine usage, like outboard motors. And I guess they could sneak in inboard motors. So maybe they could just say marine usage. That gets us down to six. I guess I'm not a marketing expert either. I mean, I was talking about weather, greasy, squeaky weather vanes. I think we said that, though. Squeaky wheels. What are other things that need to be oiled that are irritating? Thanks. My brain already snuck that one in. Blabby jaws. I don't think grease would help. My 10-in-1 grease wouldn't help my squeaky wheels. I mean, my wheels are always turning. I don't know. Like, okay, children's toys, that could be a general one. Household usage. Oh yeah, like drawers. They probably could use a little oil every once in a while. And cabinets. Then you could say... it still doesn't get us anywhere close to 10-in-1. Is it 10-in-1? Maybe it's just 5-in-1. If you own a 5-in-1 oil company, though, bump it up to 7-in-1. And then if you own a 7-in-1, bump it up to 10. I mean, you'd have to find other things other than what I listed. And I'm drawing blanks. Screws, do you ever, yeah, I guess, would a screw go in easier if it had oil on it? It'd probably be hard to screw. Refrigerator. I've never had a squeaky refrigerator. The motor makes a lot of noise, but I'm out of usages for 10-in-1 oil. And that's why I'm here, is to keep you company. And I'd posit that maybe you weren't thinking about it. I don't know if that was our most least interesting intro. I'm going to go to the hardware store and just look. I'm going to say, where's your grease aisle? Excuse me. Where's the grease aisle? They say, sorry, what are you looking for? Well, I don't like to ask questions. I'm looking for some grease. What kind of grease? They said, now we're talking. Now we're having a conversation. As a matter of fact, I'm looking to do, how many in one oils do you have? Also, do they have the company contact info on the tin? Because I could reach out to them. I'd say, throw some coconut oil in there and some avocado oil. Okay, I'll wait outside. Thank you so much. They didn't want me, even in the imaginary hardware store in my mind, they want me to finish the intro out here. So the whole idea of this podcast is to take your mind off whatever's keeping you awake, to keep you company. I've been there sleepless in the deep, dark night, so that's why I want to help. And that's it. I'm glad you're here. If you're new, give it a few tries. Almost every review says give it a few tries and see how it goes. But I appreciate you trying this podcast out. I work very hard and I yearn and I strive to help you fall asleep. Thanks for coming by. Hey, everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com. progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody.
Hey, everybody. It's time for, I guess, a Trending Twitter Tuesday episode. We're going to give it a shot here and see what the trends are in the U.S. I was thinking about telling you this story I had heard years ago. Once upon a time, you know. Once upon a time. Actually, it was this one time, not that different than right now, when I was drinking a flat cream soda, and I'd been traveling the dusty back roads of, I'd been looking for the Misty Mountains and Mountain Mamas, which was like this, supposedly this great restaurant or something. It was on some country road. So I guess, like, I'll give you a life tip right up front is, like, if you think you saw something on one of those food channels, on one of those food shows, you know, that, like, when you're lying around the house and you say, well, I'll do something in 15 minutes. Let me just see. I don't have linear cable, so I don't run into this problem as often as I used to. But you say, well, let me just see what's on the old tube here. I guess there's no tubes anymore, but they used to call the TVs the tube. And then there's those food travel shows, which are great. I mean, some of them are really good, and they're really, like, for idle entertainment, or, like, passing the time or, you know, viewing it while time passes, they can be really enjoyable. And not only that, they can add to your to-do list, which, you know, is always, I don't know if that's always a good thing, but I say, like, sometimes I watch those shows, and I say, one day, I'm going to eat at that place, I'm going to go there. And usually, I think you usually should, like, if you're going to do that, usually do, like, write it down, do some research, plan it out. What happened to me was I woke one day, and I had found I had some time on my hands, and I had, like, a vague memory of this, this place. I saw the cooking show. I wasn't sure exactly who it is. That might have been... I don't know if it, like, usually everybody is a little bit different, but it was like a team of people, like two-person team traveling the highways and the byways. It was almost like I had some sort of CES blackout.
like a consumer electronics, like, cause I thought I saw this on TV. I saw the two of them and they ran, it was like, I think it was called Country Roads. And on the premiere episode, they were out on a country road and they were going to this place, Mountain Mama's. And it was like, you say, okay, what would I eat at Mountain Mama's? Biscuits, dumplings, you know, good stuff. I said, oh boy. And I said, I guess I didn't remember watching them eat anything. Cause then I said, ooh, maybe some strawberry short, you know, food. I don't need to list the food here on a sleep podcast. Yeah, but clearly I was smitten with the idea of eating at Mountain Mama's. And also, you know, I had a residual regret from never eating at a restaurant featured on a TV show before, like intentionally, like unintentionally, I think I have, where someplace I've eaten has been at, like Dinosaur Barbecue, I think it's been featured on those shows. I've eaten there. Sorry, I get mixed up there. So I lost track of what I was saying. I guess like I was saying, I dreamed about eating at Mountain Mama's. Mountain Mama's. Oh, and then I had residual regret from not eating, like never eating in a show. So I woke up this one day. And so this is, I guess I was going to put a life tip in there. I guess the life tip would be, don't eat it. Don't get up and leave to go on a, like a food tour, on a hunch. Yeah, there it is. It's life tip number one for 2018. Don't go on a food tour on a hunch, or vague, I guess a hunch in a vague sense of, regret. Don't go on a food tour with a vague sense of regret. And so I set forth and, you know, involved a lot of traveling, but, you know, to get to somewhere where I thought, like, I said, well, okay, this is a country road that'll take me home, you know, Mountain Mama's, it takes you home. I think that was their saying. And I said, okay, I got to get to Mountain Mama's. Holy mackerel. I can't wait and he said, maybe I'll just stay, like, I said, maybe I could stay somewhere nearby and stretch it out. I said, okay, Scoots, pace yourself too. And I said, I cannot wait to get to Mountain Mama's. And so I found myself eventually, because, well, here's another, maybe you could learn from my other mistakes. Like, I don't ask a lot of questions. I just do, a lot of times I just do stuff. And this is where being a loner can be strong and powerful and not great either. Like I say, the great gray world we live in it lacks absolutes. And so, like, you know, of course, I always wish I lived in a world of absolutes. Let's see. So where was I? Like, absolutely nowhere, Scoots. Oh, thanks. There we go. So, like, I got to somewhere that I thought was full of country roads, and I had gone to my second choice because I didn't go to the Smoky Mountains because I said, if I go to Smoky Mountains, I just want to go to Dollywood, which I think is in the Smoky Mountains, and then the Great Smoky Mountain National Park, and of course, all the other sites I don't know about, but those are two things on my list as well. So I ended up in a second place where with country roads. That was similar, but that wasn't the Smoky Mountains because I said, well, then I won't go to Mountain Mama's. I'll just go straight to Dollywood. And then I'll I didn't want to distract myself. And so the downside of being a loner is when you randomly on a whim without really knowing where you're going, go somewhere. And then you don't ask at the airport, at the car rental place, at the gas station where you say, well, I'll find Mountain Mama's. I saw it on TV. I mean, they had what are those things called? A convertible, which I didn't have. I had a friggin', you know, like a Yugo or something. I mean, it wasn't. It was that cube car that all the rental places say, is this why is this rental car so boxy? I mean, I guess the luggage is boxy. But I say, I don't know if I can, what color do you call, this burnt orange? Cause I can't really, can't picture myself rolling up to Mountain Mama's in this thing. But I didn't say that. I just thought that stuff in my head. Of course, if I rent a car, that's another, I say, no upgrade. No, I do not want to upgrade. No, I do not, like, no, no, just give me my car. you know, a lot of times they say, okay, we'll just pick from this aisle. I say, no. What do you think I was, I was born in an era with consumer protections. Like I say, what do you mean? Just pick any car in this row, which row? And they said, well, you just get you any of these cars in this row, just get in it and leave and then show. And they say, well, but I rented a car, not any car. And I said, what's your game? And they said, you didn't really even rent from us. You rented on Hotwire. And I say, okay, well, touche, but don't try to upgrade me. And they say, just take that one, the Globe or whatever the heck the car's called, the square one. And I say, okay, good. I set off. And so no one knew I was looking for Mountain Mamas. I didn't bother to ask. But the plus side of being a loner is that I do enjoy getting lost. And I've talked about that on the podcast. But would you believe that? I make a sleep podcast when I'm lost half the time, and I enjoy it. Whether I'm lost on the open roads or anywhere. So if I had someone along with me, especially if it was romantic or even like a new friendship, even a family friend or a long-term friend, I would feel an obligation, you know, to know where I was going and have a plan. But since I'm by myself, I say, well, whatever, man. It's weird. That's strange. I never stopped to notice that. When I'm lost, I have no anxiety. When I know where I'm going, oh boy, is that a paradox or irony or something? I don't know. Maybe there'd be a piece of Wednesday wisdom if you hear this on a Wednesday. And that's the thing. Can you imagine if it was said to someone? I guess that would be like the worst. This would be the worst first date. But even like the first 2 years, you say, well, would you like to join me on a trip? Well, where are we going? Mountain Mamas. I always wanted to eat there. Where's Mountain Mamas? It's on a country road somewhere. A wine with trees, winding one with some good views. A country road or a county road? I said, well, that's a good question. It may be on a county road, but it may have been on a TV show. Is there a TV show called Country Roads and Country Breakfast? Because it wasn't on that one, but it might have been on one like that. It wasn't on Doughboys, because I would have remembered that. I wonder if I could ever go on to Dollywood with the Dollywood with the Doughboys. There's a pitch if anybody's listening, but I don't know if any of us have the budget for that. I mean, I wonder if Dolly listens to either Doughboys or Sleep with Me. We could get we could get booked there. But anyway, back to this. If I had a date, that would be weird. It would just be not fun because I say. Anyone would say, well, what state is, which country, where's this, what else are we going to do? I said, we'll drive around, we'll find other stuff to do. There's probably, we'll look at some wagons and, we'll do stuff in between eating at Mountain Mama's. I was thinking we'd go, breakfast, then dinner, then lunch, and then brunch maybe, or lunch. I don't know if they do brunch or lunch. I think maybe with a place like Mountain Mamas, it's just better if we split it into three meals, but over 2 days, because I don't want to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner there. So we'll do stuff in between. I mean, I can't go antiquing, but maybe you could go antiquing and I could make a podcast about antiques or something, or we could see if there's any theme parks. We could go hiking. Okay, so where, that doesn't sound actually too bad. Really, you'd like to date me. Wife, so unfortunately, I'm a part of your brain. Where were you when I was renting that car? Because I could have used a second person to kind of figure out that whole. I don't think that person was trying to upgrade us. Yeah, no, they weren't trying to upgrade us. They're trying to I think they were just trying to help you find your car. Well, maybe next time they could help me find a car that's not burnt orange and cubular. Because I don't think, anyway, it doesn't matter. It's just a rental car. I mean, I would have liked the one they had on the show because it had steer horns on it, and it was a convertible. Anyway, did you want to go? Did you want to join me? Because I don't think it's a good idea, though, because like you were just about to ask, I don't know where I'm just going to go there. And so that's why it's better to be like, I'm better off on my own. Because then I say, even when I stopped in the 7-Eleven and I got some snacks, I didn't ask where Mountain Mamas was. And I did like ask the country roads every time I started driving. I said, take me home. I'm like, I'm pretty sure they went around this bend. And then there was a valley. And I thought I had like I know it was like in, they called it the quad. It wasn't in Quad Cities, but it was the quad something else. And I was pretty sure I was close. So I just kept driving. And I was really like, I don't know. I was in the zone. I was listening to podcasts, a lot of podcasts. But eventually got to the point where I had to find somewhere to sleep. And luckily, like, that's one of my other good things with the internet. I said, okay, let me pull over. And I didn't realize it at the time, but I had a cream soda. That was a soda that I bought. And I had not put the top back on it. So it was there in my car, and the bubbles were venting away. Like the carbon dioxide was leaving. And so anyway, I went online and I was looking at hotels and motels and checking the ratings and their distance. And I found a place to stay. And I pulled in there and I said, okay, Scoots, there's going to be a conversation. So maybe you should find about Mamas now. And they said, okay, you're right. So they were like, I signed in and checked in. And made sure I had access to the internet so I could do podcast work. And I said to myself, like, I was tired, though. I said, good thing I didn't drink any Coke or Diet Coke because I needed a good rest. And they said, well, what are you in town for? And I said, I was going to eat at that one of that famous local place. And they said something like Billy Jean's or something. And I said, wait a second, there's a place called Billy Jean King, Billy Jean, the movie, Billy Jean played by Helen Slater, Billy Jean from MJ. And they were saying it as one word, though, like Billy Jean's. And I said, no. And I said, is that where you're? And I said, no, it sounds great, though. Anyway, I'm like, no, I'm going to Mountain Mamas. And they gave me that look. They told me, and they said, Mountain Mamas. I haven't heard of that one. And then they called somebody out from the back. They said, Mountain Mamas. You ever heard of a restaurant called Mountain Mamas? And they said, is that a roadhouse? And I said, possibly. I said, it's on a road, a country road, as a matter of fact. And they were very helpful. They said, there might be one in Norway. And I said, like, Norway, whatever states were near, or Norway, the country. And because they said, that would be interesting, eating at a place called Mountain Mamas in Norway, like, would have Norwegian food or American, like, comfort food. And ended up, it was a town called Norway. I don't know, I was having trouble hearing because my ears were, you know, I was, like, asking so many questions. I felt on edge. And they kept asking, they said, Mountain Mamas. And they started Googling it. And I said, Mountain Mamas doily shop. And I said, oh, boy, no. But I said, can you print that out for me? And they said, well, it's like, it's like 850 miles away. I said, okay, well, you won't be going to Mountain Mama's doily shop this trip. But they said, oh, no, yeah, we can't find it. They said, was it like one of those pop-up restaurants? I said, no. I said, no, it seemed like, they said they interviewed someone. And they said her name was not Mountain or Mama, but, you know, she had named it. And I said they had pictures on the walls. Is a multi-generational restaurant. And they said, was it on Top Chef? I said, no. No, I don't believe so. But and I said, it was on like, and then we went, then this was like 45 minutes. I'm not kidding. They said, well, where'd you see it on? I said, one of those shows. And we went through all of them. And I said, I only know like the names of, I said, I even get the hosts mixed up, but we went through a bunch of shows, even ones I had never heard of. Like, I think there's like a show, like a show with just desserts. And I said, like, driving Miss Daisy to desserts? And they said, no. They said the name of it. And I said, there's no show called Cooking Country Roads. And they said, maybe on PBS. And I said, man, I said, there should be Country Road Cooking. And they said, no, but there's one like that. And I said, okay. And they said, who's on it? And I said, a couple of people. And they said, like, all these names. They said, I don't know. I don't think so. And they said, this guy. And I said, not Guy Fieri or the guy that, the competitive dude or the guy with shaved head or any of the other hosts. I said, I don't know. And I said, I think one of the Food Network hosts might listen to my podcast. They said, what's your podcast? And I said, no, a new one's going to be called Cruising Country Cooks or something. And then they said, like, too many chefs. I said, no, I'm not that funny. No, that's definitely not me. That's somebody else. That's more, you know. I said, it would be like cruising around the country with chefs. And they said, well, that's already a show like this. And I said, oh, okay. And they said, would you have a kid version? And I said, what about this? Like, what if I drive around with a chef in the front and I have two kids in the back and they got to make food? And they said, well, they need seatbelts. And I said, okay, what if we pretended we were driving, but we were really on a flatbed truck? And they said, that wouldn't. And I said, okay, what if it was just regular? And they said, it doesn't sound like a good idea. And I said, you're right. There shouldn't be any no cooking and driving. And so I said, so you're saying there's no restaurant in this area called Mountain Mama's? And they said, no. And I said, I probably should go to bed then. And so I headed to my room and I took a bath because I was like, I thought about taking a bath. And then I said, no. He said I would need like two different types of bath bombs, like a pre-bath bomb. He said that's like 100%, 99.9% sterilization. And then like something, but I did lie in the tub to do some thinking, fully clothed. And I put my feet up and I sighed and I said, man, and I said, take me home, country roads. And I actually fell asleep totally clear headed and sober in a bathtub, somewhere on country roads somewhere. And, I had a dream. And the only thing I remember from the dream was that I was driving with these chefs, and they were all like telling me that, like they were saying, I said, what are you cooking back there? And each time it would change and they'd say toast. And they'd say in the back of a car. I said, that's probably the safest thing. I said, as long as toaster's not. And then I turned back and they'd say, what are you cooking back there? They'd say toast. And I'd say, okay. And then at some point, we were driving the car from the show that I imagined, like a big honking convertible, you know, steer horn on the front, not a Cadillac, but one of those cars you say, whoa, boy, that's a boat you're driving. And because it was a dream, like I just kept saying, well, make the toast of it. And everybody would laugh hysterically, like I was the host of a show. And he said, maybe that's a show that would be like, because avocado toast is so popular. He said, is that trend like breaking out of the West Coast yet? And he said, that could be a show. We could just schedule for 6 episodes. And they said, it will probably already be canceled. Make the toast of it. I said, it could be more than avocado toast, though. And I said, whatever the best. But then everybody was looking at me because it was still a dream. And I said, well, let's just make the toast of it. And everybody laughed. And everybody was chanting, make the toast of it, make the toast of it, make the toast of it. And I woke up, And, you know, and then I, like, got up, and it was morning, and I got cleaned up and went back down. And this is one of these, like, whatever you call it, it's in between a hotel and a motel, but they have a breakfast area that comes with your rate. And it's not exactly, like, they have a waffle maker, cereal, and a couple other things, and toast. So I had some toast, and as I was buttering my toast, I said, make the toast of it, Scoots, make the toast of it. And then I made, like, also, like, a half apple juice, half orange juice, with a splash of cranberry. And I was toasting my toast and my drink. I also had about 55 coffees. Then I realized I shouldn't bake. I had to check out of the hotel, but I was like, okay, I can't get on the road again until I use the restroom once, like, because I don't want to have to pee when I'm out on the road. Just, you know, TMI, but I just want to. And then I said, okay, well, let's just make the most of it. And instead of the toast of it, maybe that's what that dream was. So I set out driving, and I was really, really enjoying the country roads. There's slow, like, it felt like the podcast, slow bends. And, it didn't feel the same as the day before, because around every bend, I was expecting Mountain Mama's restaurant and or, like, looking to see what was familiar. But I got to drive through some small towns, and I knew where I was leaving from the next day. So I was, like, going to make a big loop around the Quad States or whatever. And I was pretty grateful. I said, well, I have nowhere to go and nowhere to be until my flight home the next day. And so I can just enjoy this drive. And actually, there's like a hiking path, and I got to go out and I got to go for a hike. And as I went through the hike, it said, there was a turn, like the roads, the paths diverged, but the most traveled one said, and I guess I didn't clearly read the sign, but some historical farm. And I said, wait, you could hike to a farm? How cool is that? So I hiked out to the farm, and it took a little while, and it ended up, there was this historical farm out in the country, off, like even off a country road, and it had all this history. I didn't pay attention to it. It did have what it was called, reenactors. And that looked interesting, but what caught my eye as soon as I got there was this, it had a barn and it had a weather vane up top, and it was, it just caught my eye as soon as it came out of the woods. I saw the farm, I saw the historical reenactors and the other people, like, enjoying the day. And it was a weekend, so it was a good, like, and they were doing these performances, there was butter churning. There was something to do with yarn, sheep shearing. I don't know if you monger cheese, but there was some sort of cheese making going on with the cheesemonger. So I don't know if they were mongering cheese or the cheesemonger was just talking about the cheese. This sounds funny, but they do cut cheese. I mean, that's a serious thing. But I said to myself, I got to make the toast to this whole thing. And, it was just this weather vane up there, and it was a weathered weather vane. Oh boy, was it weathered, and it was spinning in the wind. It was like a warm day with, like, updrafts. It wasn't too hot, but it had, like, this wind that was just keeping the weather vane going. And then maybe the pockets of air would change, and it would just stop, and then it would go in another direction. And I decided to play a little game with the weather vane, which I like to play with a lot of different things. And you could do this at home. You can do this on a, wouldn't do it on the first 10 dates, but on the 11th date with your date, you could do it with your pets. Very fun with pets. Children like this. And then weather vanes, this was my first attempt with the weather vane. This was my first actual attempt of intimate connection with the weather vane. Or any connection. I guess maybe I'm, like, jumping ahead of myself. But here's how you play the game with a weather vane, or I'll tell you also examples of playing with a pet. Is you ask it a question, and then you see what it does. Kind of like a magic eight ball, but you have to do a lot more inference. So you say, weather vane, are you having a good day? And then it's spin one way or the other way. And you say, oh, makes sense. You're not, okay, I understand. But with a pet, with a dog, one example would be if a dog wags its tail, it's a yes. If it just stares at you, that would be a no, or need more information. And for a cat, I guess you have to like decide if they walk away, definitely a no. I mean, that's an answer in and of itself. You say, okay, weather rain's having a pretty good day. It was spinning really good. It was like a spin of joy. And they said, weathering, have you ever heard of mountain mamas? Which is kind of like I didn't realize that at the time. It spun. And I said, oh, wait, that's really nonspecific. Because weathering's on top of a barn. Maybe it didn't know I meant apostrophe S, like a possessive mountain mamas. And I said, Mountain Mamas could be anything. It could be like a doo-wop group. It could be an a cappella group. It could be a rock group. It could be a performer, you know, sketch group of performers. It could be, I said, probably somebody with a washboard and somebody put a hole in the washtub for a bass, a stand-up bass. And they said, weather vane, did you think I meant Mountain Mamas washboard, country style band, weather vane didn't move. Okay. I said, okay. I said, well, weather vane, I meant Mountain Mama's restaurant. Have you ever heard of that? And it moved slowly. And he said, weather vane, can you read my mind? And then it like did all this herky. I said, well, that's probably a yes. It did all this like herky jerky moves. And he said, weather vane, did you know you're beautiful? And again, it moved like very gently. And I said, you're very weathered. And instead of like suddenly the weather, I don't know if it was the weather vane or the weather or the sunlight, it started to pull me out of myself and into the weather vane. And I started to notice, as I said, the patina or whatever of the way the weathering had gone in this weather vane and the way the N in the S, and then they had this globe underneath the north, south, east, and west. And it looks like it had raised ridges, like where the continents were, in the way the copper had, whatever they call, I don't know what it's called when it turns green and stuff, but it looked like... It just looked amazing. It made the sea look like it had currents, and it made the land look like it had trees. And then sitting above it, I hadn't even really studied it, but it was like a swan, like lowering its neck almost to its breast and sweeping out like where on its side were its wings, and then its tail was fanned out behind it. But then I said, maybe it's not a swan. I said, weather vane, are you a swan? And it wasn't. And I said, weather vane, are you that one of those birds that dives? And then it said no duh or something like a weather vane answer. And I said, yeah, I'll never think of the name of you, but you're really lovely. And I just looked at like, and I tried to imagine the weather vane was a real bird, colored in this way, this green with a color I couldn't even identify, like a dark penny, I'd say. When a penny, instead of turning green or copper, it turns into like a well beyond a chocolate brown. And then I started to notice the feathers in her wings and her tails and how there was gray in there in the green, and like how it gave even more definition. And then I looked back at the globe and saw how there was gray there. And then I looked at how she was just squeaking as she spun around, and how there was, because of where the motion was, and there was friction, there was a bright copper colors there. And I honestly began to forget myself. And I was like, it wasn't hypnotized. I was mesmerized by this weather vane, watching it spin in feeling connected to it, and everyone like saying, "Hey, weather vane, are you feeling hungry?" And the weather, like almost like it was an inside joke that we could speak in a nearly unspoken manner, like two retirees sitting on a porch with one another. And I mean, I guess like, and this isn't the first time, I mean, let's be honest, this, like I did fall in love with a potted plant before, or in love. I had like I kissed a potted plant before, and like had a semi, it was just a moment, I guess, and I was sharing a moment with this weather vane, but it was like deeper than that. And I said, "Weather vane, is that like, is that squeak a sign of, because then I said, I don't know what metal fatigue is, but what if this weather vane," and then I started saying, calling it my weather vane, my sweet weather vane, Swanee, even though the weather vane's not a, wasn't a swan, I don't believe. And I started thinking about this weather vane, and I said, "What if that squeak is like a saying, hey, get up here?" And I said, "Weather vane, did you ever hear the podcast where I joked about 10-in-1 oil?" And I said, "There's got to be some around here, even though this is like a semi-historical farm." And then it ended up they were doing like some big demonstration. I can't even remember, like the kind that everybody comes. I think like there was a magician, there was some free something or other. So everybody was gathering on the other side of the farm. And so I said to myself, "Well, Scoots, you haven't done anything this ridiculous. Like, I don't know what state we're technically in the Quad State area." I said, "What is it? Is it five? Quadra? What is it?" I said, "Well, I can always." I said, "My car's all the way back at the park." Like in the. I said, "Okay, let's do it." So I looked around. Eventually, I found one of those cans of 8-in-1 oil. It didn't have 10-in-1 oil, but it was 8-in-1 oil. And I put that in my pocket. And then, of course, I sat, like, I didn't sit down, but I, like, squatted down, tied my shoes, and ruined another pair of jeans with 8-in-1 oil. And I put it in my front pocket. And then I found a ladder. And, you know, this is purely imaginary. So if you're listening, don't do this. But I leaned the ladder up against, and you know, this is another life. Like it was not just on a, I don't know what a gable is. But this was like one of those barns. It had like a stone foundation that was probably 4 feet off the ground. And barn doors on either side, more like, I don't know, where you'd keep like hay and stuff. And then a pitched roof, and this was like a whitewashed walls or whatever you call that, and gray tile or gray like roofing stuff. And then at the center, where the pinnacle of the roof in the exact center was like one of those little houses that you put a weather vane on top, like where the air could flow out of the barn. And it had a little, whatever those things are called, vents on all four sides, probably where owls would hang out if there wasn't a squeaky weather vane. And I did, when I finally got up there, I said, "Did owls used to live up here, but your squeak get on their nerves?" And the weather vane said yes. And then I put my hand on the weather vane, and I found it was so much larger than I had expected. And so, like, even though I wasn't holding it, I could feel the solidity of this weather vane. I could feel its thickness in my hands. And I ran my hand across the wings of this weather vane, not in a way, like in a way of appreciation. And again, of mesmerization, feeling how the ridges of the feathers and holding the globe in my hand and running, tracing my finger on the north, south, east, and west, pressing my palm into the pointy parts, spinning it around, and then kind of getting an idea where the squeak is, and then just greasing the heck out of this weather vane. And actually then realizing that it was just a little bit off pitch. It had somehow... It was like not pointing straight in the air. It was pointing just a little bit off. And then I pulled up and the weather vane came right off of its weather base. And I saw where there was just a little ridge, like something had gotten caught, like some other rubber gasket that was only on one side. And I cleaned that off and I re-greased it. And I said, I think you're heavy enough that you won't blow off. And then I said, maybe I need a cotter pin. And they said, I'll be right back. And then I looked everywhere. Eventually, I designed my own cotter pin. Because the good thing about a farm is that, there's so much, like, wire-like material from fencing and stuff. So eventually, I found some wire and devised my own cotter pin and sent that through my weather vane. And I sat up there and I felt the weathering in the weather vane. And I didn't just feel it physically. I didn't just see it with my eyes. I was present there for it. And then I guess I decided that it was going to be a two-way thing. So I said, I was up here because I'm like looking. And then somebody started yelling, get off the roof. And I just gave them a thumbs up. And I said, I left my overalls at home, that one worked for that one time, because I think it was just a person, not a worker at the farm. And I kind of felt the weather vane, and I started to tell it, like, geez, yeah, so I'm here looking for Mountain Mama's restaurant. And the weather vane was such a good listener, such a passive listener, that I kept talking. And as I talked, I realized that was just a dream, like, as you probably figured out. And I, like, told it, like, yeah, like, I just headed right out here to find Mount. I said, I don't want to regret never eating at Mountain Mama's restaurants. And the weather vane kind of, like, it just sat there silently. I mean, more or less, it made a swishing sound as it would spin. And as I spinned it, and I almost felt like a child playing with a new toy after the entire day has gone by and you're a little exhausted, and then you're just kind of spinning the wheels or like looking at the nooks and crannies of, I was doing it with this weather vane as it was, I felt like it was listening to me. And then I said to myself, man, it's like, this feels good. And then the weather vane, like, showed me, it said, why don't you freaking go to Billy Jean's? Like, that's the famous restaurant around here. It's probably on more than one of these shows. Why don't you just go there? And I said, that's brilliant. I will. And then I carved Scoots Loves the Weather Vane on the, like, just on one of the, not on the weather vane itself, on one of the vents, wooden vents, and it just like light enough that no one would notice. And then someone, right as I'm coming down the ladder, somebody was coming. I said, yeah, all checks out. Your weather vane's fixed. I'll be invoicing you. And they said, what? And I held up my finger, just like somebody in the movies. And I said, and the weather vane was spinning. And they said, who are you? And then I said, I'm from Mountain Mama's weather vane repair shop. We got a call of a squeaky weather vane. And the guy said, I don't remember calling anybody. And I said, have you ever heard of metal fatigue? And the person came, and I said, well, I said, it's a good thing whoever called me did. I said, because you got yourself up there. One of the most lovely weather vanes in the Quad State area. I said, I've traveled a lot of country roads working for Mountain Mamas, and I've never seen, I don't even know what its ilk means, but that's a lovely weather vane you have. And it was a pleasure to be able to, get it back in operation. And they said, wow, it's nice. It's real, and the wind had picked up. And I said, well, my work here is done. And they said, why don't you two put this ladder away? I'm going to be off. And I set off and I hiked back to the car. And I got back in the car and I drove back towards the entrance to the farm, pulled over on the side of the road. And I had my air-warmed, flat cream soda, and I got out of my car, and I got on the roof of my cube-like rental car and sat there and looked across the road, across the fields, and as the late day progressed, sipped my cream soda and watched the weather vane, and as the day changed, the weather changed a little bit, and it felt good on the inside. I don't know how else to describe it. Like, it's strange when you have a connection with, in a non, whatever you call that, purchasing way, with an inanimate object, or semi-animate in this case. But I did, and I didn't even look for the metaphor in there. I just said, Jesus, this is like, nice. And then I set off and I ate it, believe it or not, I ate dinner and breakfast at Billie Jean's, and I'll let you see the TV shows to see which Billie Jean it was. And both meals were delightful, and I still dream of that weather vane and having a show like a TV show. I'm not sure, still not sure what it would be. Like, because I'm not sure what, like, food genres start with W. But that's one of the tales of a time I spent with a weather vane. Good night. I want to thank everybody who supports the show on Patreon. Stacy Ann, an astronaut. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hillary Page and Kimberly. Thank you. Thanks and good night. Suzanne. Lady A and Jamie, thank you, thanks, and good night. Lena D and Jarrett, thank you, thanks, and good night. SG, David, and Matt, thank you, thanks, and good night. Emily, Hillary, and Carolyn with a K, thanks, and good night. Stathi, Sanger, and Jessica, thank you, thanks, and good night. David, Benaya, Enrico, thank you, thanks, and good night. Emily, Trent, and Lily, thanks, and good night. Ann, Dave, and Matt, thanks, and good night. Joseph, Ashley, and Jennifer, thanks, thank you, and good night. Kelly, John, and Lexi, thanks, and good night. Megan, Jay, and Elizabeth, thank you, thanks, and good night. Marissa, Eleanor, and Jennifer, thanks, and good night. Sherry, Brad, and Daniel, thank you, thanks, and good night. Calvin, Sally, and Morgan, thank you, thanks, and good night. Kathleen, Yante, our good friend, and Michelle, thank you, thanks, and good night. Kimberly, Kel, and Salt, thank you, thanks, and good night. Dee Dee, Ellen, and Lisa, thank you, thanks, and good night. Jack, John, and Melissa, thank you, thanks, and good night. Kevin, Brett, and Nathan, thank you, thanks, and good night. Darlene, Mike, and Barbara, thank you, thanks, and good night. Brant, Beverly, and Christy, thank you, thanks, and good night. Patricia, Ian, and Mary, thank you, thanks, and good night. Jennifer, William, and Dan, thank you, thanks, and good night. Kimberly, Chris, and Bunny, thank you, thanks, and good night. Courtney, Joaquim, and Lee, thank you, thanks, and good night. Becky, Brooke, and Jordan, thank you, thanks, and good night. Vikram, Dave, and Candace, thanks, and good night. Jane, Vivian, and Chelsea, thank you, thanks, and good night. Type Triple, Monica and Margie, thank you, thanks, and good night. Mary, Alyssa, and Beth, thank you, thanks, and good night. Meg, Anna, and Zoe, thank you, thanks, and good night. Thank you, everybody, for supporting the show, and good night.
All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff, what was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on
in the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only. And then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, and whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in this, my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets, Season 1, Part 2. Almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelik's, we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. That was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4,
And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. So if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com, and good night.